The term becoming refers to the mind's habit of taking on an identity in a world of experience. And this can refer to our sense of the world outside and our identity within that world, our identity within the social world, the physical world. But it can also refer to the worlds in the mind. And as we meditate, we're actually taking on a state of becoming. The world here is the world inside your body, your sense of the body from within. And for the time being, you're the person looking after this, looking after the breath, making sure your attention stays with the breath, make sure that your thoughts stay with the breath, trying to be sensitive to how your thinking has an effect on the breath. You're monitoring this at the same time that you're doing it, creating this sense of concentration inside. And John Lee was teaching an old scholarly monk in Bangkok how to meditate one time. And at one point, the older monk complained. He said, "Wait a minute, we're supposed to be doing away with states of becoming, but when we're meditating, it seems like we're creating one." And John Lee said, "That's precisely what we're doing. We're creating a state of becoming. So it's like having a chicken that gives eggs. You don't just destroy all the eggs." You learn how to eat some of them. And you didn't complete the image, but if you want to learn about eggs, on one hand, you have to eat. And in eating, you have to cook the eggs. And in cooking the eggs, you learn a lot about eggs. If you've got good eggs to eat, then there are a lot of other ways that the mind eats that you don't have to get involved with. Because every state of becoming has to depend on clinging. And the Buddha's word for clinging is the same word for taking sustenance or feeding on things. So for every state of becoming, there has to be some basis either in clinging to views, clinging to habits and practices, or clinging to your sense of yourself. And some states of becoming also are based on sensual desires, your fascination with thinking about sensual things, those worlds you create in your mind around food and people, situations you want. And so as we develop a state of concentration here in the mind, we're training the mind how to feed in a better way. And as you notice, as you go through life, that the more skills you have, the different senses of self you can develop around those skills. You have a sense of what you can manipulate, what you control. And if one set of skills doesn't help in a situation, you can try in other sets of skills. You move around. And the concentration gives you a new place to move, which is really important, because so often we get tied up in our unskillful, unhealthy worlds, states of becoming, where we're clinging to some particular view of who we are or what the world should be like or how things should be done. We can get really tied up in who's right and who's wrong. And some people are so thoroughly enmeshed in their worlds, you think they're never going to get out. They'll resist totally any effort to push them out or to lure them out or to persuade them that this is not in their right interest. And you find that you've got characters like that in your head. Certain identities you take on, certain situations, especially when you feel that you've been wronged. And the part of you that feels that you've been wronged wants to have justice served. You don't like to hear the idea, well, maybe you're the one who caused the problem, or even if the other person really is wrong, the fact that you're suffering here can't totally be blamed on the other person. You try to talk to that mind state about letting go and not carrying on that particular fight and really resist. That sense of having been wronged is probably one of our strongest manifestations of our sense of self. And so even though you're banging your hand against the wall, someone tells you, you know, you really don't need to bang your head against the wall. There's a strong part that resists. This is when you have to get the different members of your committee to show they're all alternative ways of living in this world, ways that don't involve so much frustration and pain. That's one of the reasons why we develop the skill of having this member of the committee, the member that's good at getting the mind into concentration, keeping it there, and getting a sense of well-being, a sense of fullness and rapture, refreshment, a very gratifying sense of serenity. So you have this alternative place to stay, this alternative set of skills, this alternative committee member. Now, this doesn't mean that once the mind gets to a state of concentration like this, it's going to automatically slip out of its unhealthy states. That's where discernment has to come in. This is why the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, why he began the path with the Four Noble Truths. Pointing out that our clinging is suffering. This is the essence of all the mind sufferings, ways of clinging to the five aggregates. Because it's that recognition of suffering, the stress and pain that you're causing yourself, and the recognition that it's not necessary. That's the only thing that's going to get you out of those really stubborn mind states. That and respect for the teaching. Because there are times when the mind states are so stubborn that they're not going to listen to anybody. But if someplace in there there's that seed of an attitude, maybe the Buddha really did know what he was talking about. Maybe settling scores in the world is not what life is about. Or maybe feeding on the injustices that you've suffered is a really miserable way of feeding. Maybe there's something better. When you have respect for that attitude, respect for that possibility, that's when you have an out. It's one of the duties of discernment is to notice where your stubbornness is. The stubbornness that really likes to hold on to your sensual fantasies, your sexual fantasies, your lust, whatever, for people, for things. Food, your very strong views about what's right and wrong, your strong views of the right way of doing things has to be done this way, has to be done that way, your strong views of who you are and when you feel that you've been wronged. You've got to learn how to ferret out that stubbornness and see how you can get around it. Point out the suffering that's coming with that, that is inherent in that kind of clinging. And if you have respect for the Buddha's teachings, that helps a lot. The Buddha recognized that this was an important part of teaching the Dharma, i.e. one person teaching another person the Dharma, and also you teaching yourself the Dharma. It's that element of respect. And no matter how right you may be, if there is suffering involved in that rightness, there's something wrong. And when you're willing to step back from that sense of rightness, it's not like you're abandoning a fight or foregoing the justice you might want to get. You know, You're doing it because you're suffering and you don't have to. You see people suffering really miserable events in their lives. And some people are scarred for the rest of their lives and they just can't get over that particular sorrow, that particular loss. And other people realize that feeding on that loss is not helping anybody. And they're able to drop it. Well, you want to learn how to develop that skill yourself. For wherever the mind is stubborn, holding on to its opinions, holding on to its rightness. Realizing that you're the one who's suffering and you're the one who's causing it. How much longer do you want to carry it on? So when we talk about respect for the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha, it's not just a matter of bowing down. Although you do notice we do a lot of bowing down around here. It's partly to inculcate the attitude that maybe there's somebody who knows more than we do. Now, respect for the Dharma is realizing that you don't have to suffer, and it's your choice. And do you want to continue feeding in ways that give rise to suffering? Or do you have respect for that alternative that you don't have to suffer? It takes swallowing out some of your pride. But swallowing your pride is a better way of feeding than continuing to feed off your sense of having been wronged. Actually, you don't swallow your pride, you spit it out. So this is what it always comes down to. Do you still want to suffer, or have you had enough? And when you find parts of the mind that resist, what can you do? Soften them up a bit. That's a lot of the practice right there. The concentration helps in softening these things up because you keep reminding yourself, I do have this other skill. I have this place of well-being that doesn't have to depend on settling old scores out there in the world. It doesn't have to depend on the world outside at all. Wouldn't I be better adopting the perspective that comes from taking that as my main center? Main source of food.